Wisconsin is going back to work.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye summary of this week in the Capitol. It's been 2 weeks since we taped a Rewind, J.R., and let's just say this, maybe not the strongest 2 weeks for the Mary Burke campaign?
No, definitely not.
Why?
One, the plagiarism issue or the list of passages, whatever verbiage you want to use, it kind of knocked her off message, and the initial reaction from the Burke campaign was not the best. You know, first we fired the guy, well then no, he was a consultant, that's the wrong way to put it, we severed ties with him. They eventually got to a decent answer about it, but it was kind of a little bit, a couple days too late.
Yeah.
It caused him some issues. And then the really damaging thing was the video of her trying to define plagiarism now.
And she was asked in Milwaukee.
Actually, here in Madison.
Now,
those are questions that you can say they're kind of gotcha questions. But with this issue swirling, you should kind of know, you know, expect something like that to come up. Who remembers Kathleen Falk? Her name's Peg Lautenschlager. Have you ever driven drunk before? You know, those are questions that you should be at. You're going to be asked in these campaigns. You have to be prepared for them. They weren't. It's in a TV ad now. Walker's running, and it's not helping her campaign at all.
Well, okay, but let's talk about how candidates recycle ideas. And I'm going to use an example from 2010 when Mark Newman was challenging Scott Walker to run for governor, the GOP nomination. I remember going to the Library Mall on this campus. What was one of the biggest items in Mark Newman's plan? Clusters. Let's grow jobs by clusters. You know, let's have a cluster of agribusiness in Madison. So, and then clusters is part of Mary Burke's idea. So candidates continually recycle ideas.
The comeback, Wisconsin comeback, there are at least a couple of states that have comeback going on right now in the fall campaign. The brown bag lunch theme in 2010, others had used that before. The problem, though, for Burke is this. That's different using an idea versus using actual passages.
I concede that.
And the question that I've asked a number of operatives in the last couple of weeks is, okay, you've worked campaigns. I haven't. I hope never do. What's your level of responsibility or what do you have to do to check your consultant's work? Do you have to check word for word? Have you used this before? Has ever appeared in a line before? I mean, I've talked to consultants, operatives who say, yeah, you know, I mean, we get the same questions over and over again. And you look at the question, the answer you've done before, because you refer to your old work and say, I can't copy that. I've got to rehash it somehow to put it in the candidate's voice. They didn't do that here. Now, should they have? Should they have caught this? That's tough for me to say as somebody's never run a campaign, but it definitely has come back to hurt them quite badly.
Well, let's just do one more point on this. The Charles Franken poll, he did ask a plagiarism question. Mm-hmm. Charlie Sykes said it's pretty significant, the response. I don't read it that way. Do you?
Well, when I say it's hurt her badly, it's more because it's knocked her off message and taken a couple weeks out of her sales.
Momentum.
But you look at that poll, and it's not breaking through. Now, here's the question, though. The poll went in the field on a Thursday, 2 days after the RGA first began an ad in just Wausau and Green Bay talking about the plagiarism allegations. It also was about less than a week after it first hit the news. Now, we both know you can write 1,000 words a day about an issue in the paper or a website. Until it's on TV, that's when it sinks in. The poll came out of the field on a Sunday before the RGA went up the second ad, and Walker went up his own ad about plagiarism. Will it now sink in because it's getting heavier play? When I talk to Democrats, they still kind of knock this issue and say, look, it's a nothing. It doesn't mean anything. The problem, though, is to explain why it's a nothing issue. It takes longer than 30 seconds. That's how long a TV ad is.
Yeah. And, point two and why it wasn't the Burke's campaign finest hours. Was it Franklin poll? 50%, Walker 45%. Now, I did a follow-up question with Franklin yesterday. I said, is this the first time Walker has hit the magic 5-0? And he said very carefully, in this election cycle.
Yes.
So how significant is that?
Well, it's big because now you have, here's the thing. Burke, we've talked about this before, she has to prove she's a credible challenger, or alternative to Walker, and B, give people reason to vote, you know, to not vote for that guy to come back, right? Well, she has two options to do that. One, persuade voters in 2010 and 12 who voted for Walker that they're going to vote against this guy now in 2014. Or she can find Democrats who don't turn out in midterm elections but do in presidential elections and inspire them to come out and vote in November. On both counts, this is not going to help that effort. And that's really the dangerous for her right now.
Okay, we're looking at the election for Gov 1 month away. What do you look for in the next month? And let me preface it this way. Excuse me. I talked to a longtime Democratic operative last night. He said it's time for the Mary Burke campaign to take a risk. It's the only way they're going to come back. But what do you see in the next month?
Well, is there going to be an October surprise? Will we see something new out of budget numbers or John Doe records or you know, what could be out there that might throw them off message? Remember in 2012 in the presidential race, it was Hurricane Sandy. I mean, that caused a pause late in the race, and some people thought it kind of stemmed any momentum that Romney may have had. So there are all kinds of things that it could happen, but where is it going to be? Will it be a fumbled moment? Now, the first debate's October 10th, second one the 17th. Friday nights, not very high viewership for those. Yes. It's all about avoiding mistakes.
Which is why they're on Saturday, Friday nights.
It's all about avoiding a mistake. Will there be a mistake in one of those debates that could come back to haunt a candidate? You know, we'll see. I mean, it's interesting for Mary Burke is that a guy like Scott Walker, who's been around in politics most of his life, a question like define plagiarism, he could find a way to size that without even like batting an eye.
Yeah.
So if the debates with Mary Burke, how does she respond? Walker, he's done this his entire adult life. He should be fine. This is a real challenge for anybody, not just Mary Burke, who comes to the private sector and runs the first time for a big office like this, to be smooth, polished, collected in a debate. I don't know if I could do it for an hour, you know, about those kinds of things. That's a real challenge for her.
You know, maybe I do have one more point to bring up in this race, the gender gap. Men for Walker, 28% percentage points, excuse me, 62 to 34.
Yeah. Franklin called it astonishing in his presentation on Wednesday.
Yep.
Why is that? And what's driving that? And does it snap back? I mean, you always get the caution of every poll is you get a bad one every now and then. Is there anything in there that's not quite meshing up? But we'll see. We've got another one coming out in a couple of weeks probably, and no one after that. So.
Yeah.
But the momentum is clearly on Walker's side right now.
Yep. And there was a Hail Mary pass thrown in the U.S. Supreme Court to block the photo ID, but nobody really expects that to happen, do you?
Kind of late in the game. I mean, well, it was late in the game to have the Seventh Circuit lift the stay.
Yes.
It'd be even later to come back and say no, even with, you know, a public awareness campaign starting soon if the Joint Finance approves the money. It could be a mess in theoretically. But I people right now expect it to be in place come November. The question is how they deal with it, how they find people who don't have their IDs. Again, that question goes back to, well, okay, the people who don't have their IDs, who actually turns out to vote?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big question.
That's why I found those Franklin numbers on that issue very interesting. 71% were aware of the photo ID law. 20% said, oh, we don't have to have that. And 8% said, huh?
Yeah.
So you have one in four that is not prepared to show a photo ID at the time that Franklin's pollsters asked the question.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fear among Democrats is that it's one more thing you have to bring the polls and remember. And one guy joked to me this week that there are people who turn out in the presidential elections who don't know the election this November for state office. Like, they're not tuned in. So if you're talking about a casual voter who doesn't really watch the news, isn't reading the newspaper, how does he or she know what's going on? It's incumbent upon Democrats to find their supporters, make sure they have the stuff they need, and give them the polls. Republicans are saying, look, the people don't have this or don't know that they need an ID, they're going to have it anyway. I mean, 99.9%, in their words, will have these IDs anyway. Nothing to worry about. Again, it's back to that 0.01%. Is it a big deal if they don't have their ID? If they come back after the election and show their ID to have their provisional ballot count, could be messy for some people. But how many? That's a big question.
And let's make an announcement, voters. There's a race for Attorney General on the November 4 ballot. You may not know that. That was intriguing. Mm-hmm. 8 in 10 on both sides don't have enough information. Don't know about either Waukesha County DA Brad Schimmel or Jefferson County DA Susan Happ. Has the Gump race sucked all the air out of it?
Absolutely. And what's interesting is
voters, there's an election for Attorney General.
Happ had a little bit of like a surge in her negative numbers after the kind of stories about her dealing with these guys because of a sex offense, right?
Yeah.
Those negatives dropped back down in the poll. So like it came and went for some, if the poll is right. You know, I mean, again, they're small movements with the margin of error. So what's going on? People aren't paying attention to that race. I keep talking to folks who tell me that the AG's race will be basically a three-week sprint on TV. Now, Schimmel released an ad this week, said it's going to go statewide. It's mostly on cable from what I can tell so far.
He wrapped himself in cops, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic DA or classic AG or Supreme Court race move, right? By bipartisan support from law enforcement. Big sprint on TV, 3 to 4 weeks. Who's got the best ads in the clothes? I mean, will there be coattails from Governor Walker for Schimmel or Burke for Happ? Will people go to the polls and say, you know what, I'm not sure about Burke, but I need a check on Walker, so I'll vote for it. There are all kinds of scenarios you can imagine. But do people know these folks yet? No. Will they end up knowing them? Maybe. So it's tough to say how it's going to turn out in the last couple of weeks.
Well, let me throw in one more thing. It goes back to the governor's race. Michelle Obama coming back a second time.
Hmm?
She was in Milwaukee. She's coming to Madison next week. Why?
The base.
Madison's already tuned up for her, man.
Base. It's all about jazzing up the base, making sure they're engaged. You know, free attention in Madison. I mean, your core constituents are Madison, Milwaukee, right? You got to reach people who may not be excited or
I think they're already locked up in Dane County. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Students, okay. Another big one, right?
Okay.
So, and we're the ones who are worried about with voter ID, right? Minorities, poor, students. So you're going to hit some of those constituencies, those visits. That's probably part of the reason why, at least.
That's a good answer. In non-political news, the Walker administration announced today that they had solved a budget problem in the Medicaid, and the Medicaid program will be balanced. I was surprised to learn that Medicaid is now a $4.8 billion annual program.
Now remember, when you say solve, there's a caveat. They got $51.2 million from drug settlements.
Yes.
And two, it's a $4.8 billion program, right?
Yes.
These fluctuations are a blip on the screen. They're a rounding error, if you will. So what's in balance right now could be out of whack in 3 months because there are ebbs and flows in that program. I mean, people I've talked to who have been are on the budget for a long time will tell you, you could come in one day and be good and next day be down $100 million. It's just, it's one of those weird things in the budget.
But so, for the next month, it allows Governor Walker to say, we have solved a potential budget crisis in the MA program.
And the Dems will keep saying that structural. You know, so it's a muddied issue right now for voters about where the budget is. But if you look at Franklin's poll, it's not, people don't think it's as good shape as it was back in January. That message has started to resonate with people.
Yeah, but when Franklin asks, who can get things done, Scott Walker or Mary Burke, it's still Walker has the lead. Okay, time for What's Politics stock report, sir.
Rising, Scott Walker. I mean, obviously, the poll getting to 50%, that's big. You look at these changes, the last couple of polls, they're all within the margin of error, but they're all gradually moving towards Scott Walker. So what does Burke do to change momentum and prevent her window of opportunity from closing shut on her? That's going to be a huge thing for the next 4 weeks. So he's in good shape right now, not safe, not a done deal, but he's got to be feeling decent right now. Compared to 3-4 weeks ago,
yeah,
much better shape.
Yeah.
Mixed. Paul Ryan.
I interviewed him yesterday. Why is he mixed?
We've all assumed for weeks and months that he's going to have a clear path to be Ways and Means chair, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, here comes a guy from Texas saying, I'm going to run too. So now, it doesn't mean that Paul Ryan's not going to be chair of Ways and Means or that he's going to have a hard time winning the seat, but it's going to be a difficult position. It could be a difficult race, one. Two, it might force his hand on 2016. He's been telling us to decide next year about running for president, right? Well, if you go into your conference of Republicans and say, I want to be your Ways and Means chair, and they go, okay, wait a second, that's tax policy, that's Social Security.
That's a bigger job than budget.
How committed are you, Mr. Ryan, to being there for us and not running in Iowa, New Hampshire? So it's not that he's in a bad shape, he's just all of a sudden got a little difficulty in front of him.
Well, I asked him, how can you be Ways and Means chair, because that is the single most committee chair, and run for president? And he said, we're not allowed to talk about running for Ways and Means while we still have a chair, Mr. Camp.
He's being respectful of Mr. Camp, you know, very much so. And you know, I talked to people about him running for president, and somebody pointed to me yesterday, I don't think Ryan will run. I don't think he knows that yet. So, you know, when I talk to Republicans, they don't feel like Ryan really wants to run for president. He has a family. He talks about spending time with my family, being home in Janesville. That changes a lot.
That's
running
true.
For president, you know? He's still a young guy.
His aide told me yesterday, we have to be done with this interview by 2:45 because Paul has to pick up his kids from school. And Paul said, yeah, I enjoy being here. Pick up my kids from school.
Yeah, change around for president.
Okay.
So
falling.
Tom Petri.
Whoa, yeah.
Back months ago when this whole thing rose up about Oshkosh Corporation, people told me, hey, he went and asked the ethics committee to investigate it. And if the committee comes back with an answer that he knows is going to come back, i.e. you're clean, great move. Now, all of a sudden, the answer isn't what he wanted it to be. So now you have to separate them. You have this board, right, that investigates things.
Yes.
That board's saying there is probable cause to believe that you broke the rules. Now it's up to the ethics committee to say, okay, did he or didn't he? Will it, A, run the clock? Just say, look, you got 3 months left. This guy runs 35 years. Let's just kind of let it gradually drift away. He leaves office in January. No big deal. Or B, I talked to people, look, there's some strong language in that board's report. Mm-hmm. They can't just let him off the hook and go out the door. Like they have to do something, some kind of admonishment. So we'll see. But either way, between kind of being forced in retirement, having an ethical cloud over your head the last 3 months of your term, it's not the great way to leave office for Tom Petri.
A tarnished potential legacy for someone who served in the 6th District for 35 years. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we sign off, let's dedicate this show to Neil Shively, Milwaukee Sentinel Bureau Chief for 25 years, 1967 through 1992. It was an era without cell phones. It was an era without the internet. He prowled the Capitol, you know, paper sticking out everywhere, just this goofy grin. I worked with him from 1988 till 1992, and he was old school, and the Capitol and the press corps has changed a great deal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Neil, condolences to your family. And I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for October 3rd.